Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Rollo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you. A little while ago, I had done another show, and my good friend Gary Rudenko had come on. We were doing a show about guitar theft, and he pulled me aside, and he said, "You got to hear this amp. This amp is just incredible, and these speaker cabinets. There's this new speaker cabinet amp company coming out, and you got to hear this." So today's the day. We got them in here. I want to introduce Form Factor Audio. They make the bass amp. It's called the BI-1000, I think, is the one we have here. They make a lower wattage one, the BI-400. But these cabinets are amazing. We don't have the room for the big cabinets, but we brought in a 210, and it's an amazing sounding cabinet. So I want to welcome from Form Factor Audio, Andre Lomov. It's great to have you here on the show. Thank you so much for coming down. Gary's here. And I have two great bass players here in studio, Pancho Tomaselli.
Hello.
And Corey Dozier.
Hey, how's it going?
So we're going to take a look at this amp. And then also my good friend Henry Sendejas is here from out of town. So I brought him along with me.
He's not wearing any pants.
So anyway, well, let's start, Andre, real quick. Basically, what happened? Sorry, no pun intended. But the how you started, why you built this amp and the cabinet, and what you were going for.
Well, it kind of all goes back. I come from a musical family, and we've always been into pro audio in some way, fashion, or form. And we decided to go into the bass world. For a number of different reasons. Basically, we have a company that builds professional speaker cabinets. Mm-hmm. Larisonic and Spectre Audio are two brands, and so we already had the wherewithal, and the cabinetry was there. We innovated a lot mm-hmm. of new technique in manufacturing wood and cabinets. So we basically took that. We sort of sat down with Gary one day and all of us and said, you know, there's nothing that's really like this in the bass world. They've sort of been doing things the same way for a long time, and there's no innovation really. So we decided to give it a whirl, and we made some prototypes. We brought them over to the amp shop, and we had phenomenal feedback. So that fed it mm-hmm. sort of more into it and gave us some inertia. Because you have to be obsessed in order to bring something new to the market in this world. It's a long, arduous journey. So you have to be really just kind of inspired to do it. And we were by the feedback that we were getting from people. Mm-hmm. And so the next component was the amplifier. And we basically started from scratch. And we went from zero. We completely innovated the whole thing ourselves. And sort of it took a very long time to do. But again, it had to be the component because everyone said, okay, look, we like your cabs, but where's the amp? Mm-hmm. And that was a tricky thing. So it took us a few years to do, but here we are.
So we were talking a little earlier before the show, And the main concept between for the amp mm-hmm. is transparency, that mm-hmm. you're getting exactly what the bass is doing.
Right.
No distortion. Basically, it's what you're with. If you're going to introduce any type of distortion or effect to the guitar, you bring that in with externally.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's not, I mean, people have claimed that in the past, but we haven't really seen that a truly clean amp and signal path and cab that delivers what the bass is. And as Pontra and Corey, we've all discussed this in the past, where, you know, most people have never heard their bass. They don't even know what it sounds like until mm-hmm. they plug in, or if they have a really nice studio setup.
Right, or unless you play, unless you guys play direct, that would probably be
I
the mean,
that's what I was doing.
Yeah,
I had a Ready Tube DI with the AD Signs KGB preamp and a whole 100-pound head, and then a huge, you know, it's like, it's the only way. It was the only way I could get like clean bass. If I was just going direct with a power, you know.
Oh, okay.
And getting everything, it was kind of a mess, but it worked, and you know, it was clean.
So you were always using some type of preamp mm-hmm. to run it in there mm-hmm. and go through both of you guys to run yeah. direct, right?
Well, me previously for a long time, I had to use another power amp section on top of a rack mounted amp. Just, you know, doing a lot of rock stuff or, you know, heavy metal stuff, you actually need a clean bass sound more often than you need.
Right.
You know,
I would just plug in my DI to a powered speaker, like a PA speaker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was the cleanest I would get, but it was not powerful enough.
And that's what most upright bass players do too nowadays. I mean, even like cats like Larry Grenadier, who are like famous for playing with Brad Meldow, they go on tour and they're not even bringing amps. They're bringing powered speakers, because literally amps don't get clean enough for playing jazz or, you know,
right,
playing
right,
on an upright
right.
bass.
Well, I noticed from session work that I had worked on is that they always wanted that bass clean. So they always wanted direct. I very rarely, unless I was, there was something specific where you were, you know, like I used a Bassman head back then, and yeah. if I wanted to distort that, then they would mic it. But for the most part, they wanted to go direct.
Yeah. So. The problem that I have with that is that they usually stick you in like a little Countryman DI this big, and it's really thin
right.
and very transparent, like too transparent almost, you know, like it has no, how can I say, no vibe, you know? So
right.
that's when I graduated to the Ready, but then I was just bringing so much gear. The Ready is 10 pounds by itself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
When Form Factor came out, I mean, it's just a two-piece kind of deal, the head and the amp, and that's it.
Right.
You don't have to carry anything else.
Now, we have the, I have it both mic'd with this. We have a 210 cabinet, and then I also have it direct. So let me show real quick, and then we'll talk more about the design of the cabinet, because mm-hmm. I'm amazed for a 210. This thing sounds great, and the amp has plenty of power. It's 1,000 watts. RMS, so it's got
real 1,000 watts.
Real 1,000 yeah. watts,
not Class D 1,000 watts.
It's yeah. real. It's real. And then the but I mean, for, you know, playing it even at, because we're not playing loud in the studio here, but it's resonant. It's deep, and it has a great sound. So I'm going to ask Corey, go ahead and play something, and I'm going to switch between the tubes. So right now, let me mute. This is the microphone.
My bass is on flat. I'm playing a Modulus Quantum 6 right now.
Okay, so that's with the microphone. I'm using an Audio Technica. Now I'm going to switch it. Hold on 1 second here. Do that again. Do that one more time here. I had both one. So that's the... and that distortion you're hearing is my microphone overdriving. Now I'm going to switch it to direct. It's pretty transparent. Microphone. Direct. That's impressive. I'm not hearing any coloration at all from this. Usually I would hear something from the speaker.
Right. But so, that's DI from the amp.
Yeah, the DI and mic'd. So you, when I'm mic'ing, you're hearing the speaker, and that's pretty transparent, which...
That's a pretty good DI, you know, I mean, considering, you know...
The DI is great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring anything else, not just, like, the head. And everything weighs, what? Like
10 pounds.
10 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And the cabinet
It depends on if it's
like a 410 cabinet. I mean, I carry it.
40 or 60 pounds depends on. There's a light version and the Neolite.
Let's switch. Really cool. We're gonna plug in. We're gonna plug in Poncho, and he's using my Boulder Creek acoustic bass, and we'll do the same thing. So we'll.
I'm using his ESP Boulder Creek acoustic. So how did this is actually really nice.
Okay, now that's the microphone right now. Now I'm going to go direct.
I mean, you can hear all the...
Yeah, those are bronze wound strings on there, so it has a lot of overtones. That's direct microphone. That's direct microphone. That
beautiful.
Is just transparent. That's amazing.
It sounds beautiful. You can hear all the overtones.
That bass sounds really nice, too.
Yeah, it's super clean, huh?
Yeah. It's like, wow.
Dude, 14 years working on this calluses, man.
Yeah, those bronze welds will wear your calluses out fast.
Yeah, but it sounds like the first thing that I noticed is I've had the opportunity to play in situations where I have to use really loud bass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I understood about how, you know, bass is not bass. Bass is power,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people make the mistake of cranking bass frequency mm-hmm. to get more level out of their basses because they can't feel it. When it's completely the opposite. You got to shave off the bass and crank the gain to get... Because bass has bass. It's called bass.
Well,
salt has salt, you know.
Well, we were talking earlier before the show. One of the problems is the waveform's longer. So
correct.
We were mentioning a friend of mine has a setup. He had a Coliseum, Sun Coliseum with 18s, but you couldn't hear the speaker until you're about 30 feet out. So on stage, he couldn't hear himself.
Yeah, correct.
So he was constantly cranking up.
Yeah, that's a big problem that all of us have.
Yeah, you know. Let me ask Andre real quick, mm-hmm. because this thing is I'm sitting maybe 5 feet away from it, and I'm hearing everything.
Right.
But that's what I was going to make that point, is that this amp's been the first amps that actually do have the power that they are advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that gain that makes the bass so clean. Because I don't have to crank bass, I don't have to crank EQ, I don't have to do anything. I just plug it in, and the gate is enough, you know, to bring all those frequencies that are naturally occurring in the bass, which
right.
are bass, low, mid, treble, you know, they're all there, but, you know, because the amps nowadays suck so much, you have to, like, tweak it, and you're there tweaking your amp, and then you ruin your tone.
Right.
Because it will never sound the same way outside.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, you spend a lot of time trying to get a good, you know, stage volume, and you have to get actually huge, big-ass amps, excuse me, but, you know, to get decent stage volume, but with this you get actually to turn down even quieter with a more powerful amp, and you'd get plenty of presence. Like, because I don't know, you know, I'm not a scientist, but it's just, it works. It's just, you're right near it.
You said something very, very, very true. It's like bass sound wave is huge.
It takes a long way
to travel, and it takes a lot of power to move that sound, you know? So if you don't have enough power, what happens? Your sound, your tone farts out. You know,
right.
If you don't have enough power, you lose note. You lose all those harmonics. You know, eventually, you know, and then your bass sound tends to sound like a happy face. All the mid range is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be playing here, but then it's gone.
Yeah,
right. Now, you guys on your live rigs, when you're using this system, are you using the 410s or
410.
The
410s? Yeah.
Okay, because we have the 210s in here, and I'm amazed because that was always a problem with bass amps. It never had enough top end. And then in the 80s, everybody was bi-amping and doing all this really cool stuff, and it was like huge racks and all this
thousand
stuff.
Pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
But this thing has got a lot of top end to it. And mm-hmm. how did you...
Well, there's a reason for that. I mean, if you really break down the system, there's a couple of things in here. First of all, you have a compression driver. It's not a tweeter.
Okay.
Because this is a professional rig. That's the sort of the main thing I think that sets us apart is we don't so much make a consumer product. It's a professional product because we come out of large format sound systems, line arrays, huge subwoofers, things where failure is not an option and performance is key. Otherwise, you're just not getting those jobs. So essentially, you have a compression driver. You have a horn, just like in the PA system, a 60 by 90 horn. And you have a cabinet that's extremely rigid and build, apart from how it's tuned and the porting and the outside design, what you're not seeing is all the jointry, the finish, the craftsmanship that goes into it. That has a ton to do with the sound. And, you know, you can throw together a box and throw some drivers in it, and that's not going to sound nearly the same as this because of just the design of it, the way it's braced together. The components, which are also extremely advanced, are allowed to work in their optimal range, right? And then you go back up the signal path and you have the actual amplifier, which is letting in all those details, all those small little tiny harmonics that you are missing with sort of lesser systems. So it's letting all of that color through from 20 to 20K. It's all there, right? So you have a system that is able to reproduce that entire tonality, that entire sort of character of the bass through the entire signal path. And I think that's never really been
seen
before.
I think what it feels for me, it feels like I'm playing through a PA speaker. That's, I don't know.
Right, which is usually a horn. But so you're saying that there's two tens and a horn in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the attenuator knob on the side, which you can kind of mess with, you know, you have more or less of the horn. So sometimes you can, as Poncho and I have talked before, you could just rip it off completely, and you've got sort of a woofier sound. Yeah. You've got more of that old school 360 sound. If you want to add it, that's a little bit more of a new age sort of progressive sound and anywhere in between. So you've got like this kind of building block, you know, these building blocks, and you can build your system out however, with just an attenuator knob and a
now
couple
the 4x10, is it just have one horn or does it have two horns?
It has one horn.
So
it
just one horn's enough for either one.
Exactly.
Because, the top end on this is amazing.
That horn is insane. I mean, we put that into large speaker cabinets.
Andy has, it's right about saying this is not your average guitar center amp because this is a tool. It's like a sushi knife, you know. Like you know, it's so perfect. It's brilliant and it's great for working. It's lightweight, you know, and it's clean. A lot of people want to crank. They want their stuff to fart a little bit. This won't. I've tried to blow that amp for a long time, or I can't do it. You know, and on purpose, we crank it at the amp shop. You know, we play it, we slap it, but it doesn't crap out. So I think
the ceiling starts to move, but the amp doesn't do anything.
It is a professional tool, a very affordable professional tool, considering the fact of the quality.
Well, with 1,000 watts, like you were saying, you have the headroom, and so you're getting that response, the dynamic range. You have plenty of power to get the dynamics that you
absolutely
know.
Yeah, I mean, really, you don't with most big amps that, you know, actually have a lot of power, old tube amps, you're getting so much coloration from those tubes and everything, you know, that to actually finally get clean power, you're still not hearing the sound of your actual bass. Even if you're cranking a 200 watt head, and you can get clean power from a 200 watt head, you can get clean sound, but it's not your bass's sound, you know, it's not the sound of your electronics.
What I like about it is that, you know, times have changed. Before, you had tube amps because you had precision basses with no EQ on it. You know, it was just flat out. You relied on the tube, on the power to color that bass a little, you know. Nowadays, with this amp, you can get that same old school or you can get the completely modern six-string bass clarity from, you know, the low B to the highest C register you have, you know, and it picks everything up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a good range.
Well, the dynamic range and the frequency response of bass playing now is changed. It's much brighter, much full range. You want both the lows and the highs because you're popping or you're slapping and you're also playing, you know, and these new basses like the Modulus or some of the other newer basses around the dynamic range is just incredible.
Well, you know, everybody knows that when Jaco did this, he changed the entire perspective of what a bass guitar is.
Right.
Because before Jaco, it was just this. Jaco comes in now, the bass has an orchestral range per se, you know?
Yeah.
So because of that, amps had to move with the technology of it. You know, a B15, it's not going to take clarity when you're doing that. You
right.
know?
Now, this speaker cabinet mm-hmm. is pretty flat all the way up and yes. down the thing. So even though this doesn't apply to guitar, mm-hmm. you could use this for keyboards.
You could use it for anything.
Rhodes. It would have the top end Absolutely. To handle, I mean, like a synth or something like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. It would be fine.
People have used it, right, Gary?
Because it sounds incredibly flat.
They even yeah. using them for the high quality studio monitors.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They've used them for monitors.
It's just it basically it's the form factor of it. No pun intended. Is that for the bass player? You know what I mean? The physical design of it. And there are some adjustments made, but it is just a very clean acoustical reproduction mm-hmm. system. That's really all it does. And it's such a simple solution, but, like, we've never seen it before. You know what I mean? It's right. just it's like all these guys have ever wanted was just give me a way to reproduce these waves in a way that
right.
I can hear it, and I want to add a little bit of this and that, but I don't want that turn of the knob to completely destroy my sound. And that's the thing that you get for a lot of it.
The way I use the EQ with my form factor is I don't EQ it to get more juice out of the amp. I EQ it because every house is different every night.
Right, right.
So that's why how I use I play it flat. But some houses might require less bass, a little more mid, you know, and that's how I use the amp. You know, but I usually play it flat all the way because that's
yeah.
the choice sound.
Well, with your basses, especially Corey's bass, it sounds so good flat anyway. It just exactly. has a great sound yeah. naturally.
Yeah, I mean, my controls are flat, you know.
But in on stage, you have just the one cabinet and the guy. You're no problem hearing yourself.
At all. At all.
Yeah, it's no pretty. Problem. It's really.
At all. It's got a good kick. Like I said, it's. It's a very punchy cabinet, the 410, I think. I like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I finished it. We did a session with the Tower guys, actually, where it was required to have that boomy, mm-hmm. rocko kind of sound. We were doing some funky stuff. And I took the 410, clean, straight, no, you know, nothing. And it was perfect, you know, just perfect. Just I killed the tone on my bass. That's all I did.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. Very mid-range, but really low-end, you know, so, mm-hmm. which is really cool.
Well, let's go a little bit into the amp now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the speaker alone is incredible. But mm-hmm. I noticed that you got some interesting things, the way the amp is set up. Again, mm-hmm. more, I appreciate it more from a live perspective because you have a lot of inputs on the front of it as right. opposed to the back. So can you kind of just go through it and... describe a little bit the design philosophy, and then we can play a little bit more and show a little bit what it does.
I mean, basically, again, our design philosophy is the same as it for this as it was for the PA stuff. Is we come from using the equipment on, you know, nightly, you know, use. Mm-hmm. It's simple to have all the stuff in the front. You're not searching around the back, as Pancho once said. You're not showing your butt to the audience because you're right. diving behind your rig to see.
Mm-hmm.
The mute button is green, and it's up front, and it's lit up. So there's no freaking out when you're, you know, running on stage and you've had a few beers and you're like, oh, no, my amp is
my
dead.
My habit doesn't... Yeah. What's going on?
And you start throwing things at the sound guy. It's like...
it's not blowing your paddleboard, everything. Right.
So it's basically, it's meant, much like the sound, it's meant to be extremely functional. There's the center, you know, mid-sweep, which is bigger than all the other knobs. And there's a very simple EQ section, very simple layout. It's just kind of ergonomic and sort of almost utilitarian in a way. The focus is on the sound. Not the
I noticed that you have active and passive mm-hmm. Inputs. We're using the passive one. Mm-hmm. No, you're using active.
You can use either one.
Now, what's the difference? Is it just a
18 decibels.
Just an 18 decibel gain difference.
Yeah. And you can do, we were making one of our first videos with a gentleman by the name of Jamie Gamble, and he put a very hot active, it was a jazz bass into the passive, and usually that would create issues or possibly kill the amp.
Yeah.
It didn't do that, and he played. I mean, he was slapping that thing like it was no tomorrow. And it was, so, you know, it's there for just that little bit of a difference, but in all reality, you can use either, you know.
And then I noticed that you have a tuner out, so you mm-hmm. can have your tuner set up. Mm-hmm. Then you have a send and return mm-hmm. for your effects loop.
Yep.
And then amp direct, is that like a guitar output type of...
Basically, if you want to, for some odd reason, bypass the preamp, say you have another preamp that you'd like to use, Okay. For example, if Pancho wanted to use his KGB preamp and he wanted to go from there into just the amplifier module, it completely bypasses the...
So you're just getting the outputs like a normal guitar output going out.
Exactly.
Yeah, as opposed to a boosted line out.
Exactly. Right. And that makes sense if you're getting a specific sound. Say you're doing a pickup session for an album or something. That was the sound, and he's got this rig. He doesn't have to schlep his entire setup. He can just plug into amp direct with whatever preamp that he has, you know, other than that preamp, and, you know.
So it becomes like a power amp, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, it's exactly. Just a small power amp.
Exactly. So, but you plug it into like a normal guitar input from that. The output of that amp direct would go into like a normal
No. That's guitar. That's an input. So it's amp direct. You are tapping into the amp module.
You're bypassing the EQ.
You're bypassing all the preamps.
Oh, it's the other way. It's direct into the power amp.
Yeah. Direct into the power amp.
Because a lot of cats have their own rack-mounted EQ or effects that come with it, and they just go directly into the power because they don't want to use that. So.
They don't use that.
Exactly. I've never seen anyone use that because the preamp does sound pretty good.
Amazing.
I've never seen anyone use it, but just in case you need to, it's there. We
When you need a 1,000-watt amp, that's very cool.
Who doesn't need a 1,000-watt amp, though, right?
That you just happen to have in your hand because it only weighs 7 pounds.
I mean, for example, if somebody wanted to use that as a keyboard amp,
that
or something like that, you just write it right there. And then you have I noticed that you have the bass, the mid, and a switchable...
Yeah. Switchable mids.
Mids, treble, and then you have a limiter.
Mm-hmm.
And is that very transparent?
Very transparent, yeah.
The limiter is awesome, actually.
You use that a lot?
Yeah, it's very sensitive, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you will hear it, you know. So it, like Gary and Andy, they say, it's a professional tool. You know, mm-hmm. So you have to know what a limiter does.
It got a little bit more transparent. We tweaked it a little bit from the most, because you guys have the pre-production models. And we've tweaked it. There's some... The R&D doesn't stop just because product goes into... If we figure out a better way to do it, we implement it mid-cycle. It doesn't matter. So the ones that are in production now, it's a little bit less of a bitey thing. It doesn't quite crunch it down.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, you had a chance
to play. But I thought it was great. I thought the sensitivity of the limiter was perfect, especially when I do the punk stuff and I have to put an octave and an overdrive.
Oh, yeah. No, now it is... You know, now if you really put the limiter on... It really will save your speakers, though. Like, you're going slap crazy, or, you know, even if you're just, like, fully digging in by the bridge, like, you want to put that limiter on because you will save your speakers, especially if you're using this head for people out there who already have cabinets and are plugging into some random cabinet that's not a form factor. Like, you're going to need that limiter on there to make sure you don't blow your cab if you're actually going to go, you know, ham. If you're going to full-on use the 1,000-watt amp, you're going to need that, you know.
Right. Now, have you guys noticed, in general, limiters, and this is in the studio, when I use a limiter, I lose high end. It always sounds duller. How does this response? You still keep your... Does it still keep your high end, or do you have to compensate?
I think for being that it's a live rig, it's as transparent as it gets. You know, I don't think we can compare a studio limit in the vacuum of a studio, because, you know, you're... Sound is you're in a vacuum when you're in the studio,
but right?
Comparing to the limiter on the amp in a live situation, live scenario, works great.
It's not a problem. It's not an issue.
You don't hear it, like, you know, you hear when a cheap limiter or a pedal limiter, and you hear it, and it sucks in your tone. You know what I'm saying? Like you're saying the top end. You know, this is pretty transparent.
You know? I mean, when we play it again, I'll show you guys. Well, I'll crank that limiter all the way up. Because it really, like, it's... You don't lose... You definitely don't lose high end.
Especially for, like, when you're doing, like... Especially in the acoustic bass. And if you're muting or, you know, where you get that sub.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was using it on my upright bass, when the first day I got it, I brought my upright into the shop. And we went through every single cabinet with the new head. And, like, my, you know... Basically, it's an 1880s upright from Germany, you know, with the highest end David Gage Realist you can have. And, I mean, it's, you know, a ridiculous bass with, and we just, oh my God, it was...
Nothing beats 1800s tone.
Oh, no. I mean, especially not combined with a BI-1000, huh?
Well, let's go, do you want to use the modulus or do you want to use the Boulder Creek to demo? Let's go through the controls. I'd like to show a little bit the range. Let's go ahead with the modulus.
Yeah, the electric, yeah.
Let's switch it. And then... What I want to do is also show the range of the tone controls, probably the bass, mid, just kind of give an idea of how much versatility you have there, and then also the limiter.
Of course.
So let's just, I'll let you just go through, and you can randomly, you can show us just the tone.
Garrett, do you want to? Gary Rodenko on the...
On the controls.
On the controls.
The expert. Okay. So now he's... Gary's switching the mid-range switch. So he has it set to... frequency is 0.5.
That's basically zero. Okay. We call that zero.
Just 0.5?
At noon. At noon on the controls.
With that, you want to tell him what that means? That's 500 hertz, right?
Okay, now he's going to cut the mid down. So he's just cut the mid on you. I'm going to use both the speaker and the mic, the direct, so you can hear it. Go ahead. Wow. It's taking the mid out. It just suddenly, it's bright. Okay, do me a favor and boost it and then go through the different frequencies so we hear where it's notching. Okay, do it with it. Okay, now go through the different ones.
Yes. So that's with the mid frequency all the way up.
Well, that's he's cutting.
That's 500 hertz of first, well, the first dial.
1.5.
Oh, 1.5?
Yes.
That's cut. Okay. Okay, next. So he's cutting and then he's boosting. Okay, the next one's what frequency?
This one is
2,000 is the first one.
Boosted, cut it.
There's lap frequencies here.
That's interesting. It's getting
distorty. I mean, it's a lot.
But that's probably also the headphones too.
It could be my mic.
Because I take it off. I'm not wearing the headphones now.
Yeah, that's mostly so just the mic.
It's a lot of mid range.
That mic is not.
So you can see that the switchable, the frequencies that you have switchable are really musical and really tuned.
Well, that's the whole idea. And the thing is, too, what I ran into when I was doing all the demo videos is most mics can't quite handle that. Like, you have to kind of do it a little bit different. Like, you would record almost a guitar amp. You know,
right.
You have to, usually with a bass amp, you just kind of put mic foot away and you're good to go, and most mics will handle it. This puts out just a bit more. So
no, it's really musical. I mean, to me, for the bass, he's hitting all the really good. When you pop or slap it, depending what it is, it's accentuating it.
So you see the frequencies, the frequencies that they picked, 500 hertz, which is low mid,
right?
Right. That's in between 500 and 1,000. That's where all your growl, then 1.5, 1,500, that's also a lot of good top and mid range, which is what the bass lacks.
Yeah.
Then 2,000 and 2,500, for your slappers and your high end strings, like your high C's. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, I play 4-string with flat ones, and I usually play it on 5 or 1.5.
Oh, okay.
That's it. That's my frequency.
What do you use on there?
Well, it depends on what.
So you move around.
Yeah, well, I mean, like he was saying earlier, Poncho was saying that, every room sounds different. And a lot of rooms and clubs are super bass heavy. So, I mean, I kind of like need more mids, and I need to turn down the bass. I like with my fretless, I'm at like 2.0. Mm-hmm. But with my upright, I went all the way basically to 2.5, turned the limiter all the way up, and then turned the controls basically to 2.
Yeah. Well, speaking of limiter, Gary, I'm going to ask you to get up again, and let's show the limiter, what the capabilities of the limiter are.
Again, we went everything back to...
Now, there's no limiting right now. So you're getting the dynamics. Okay, the limiter is on half, or straight up.
Yeah, the so mic is really...
Yeah, the mic is crapping out really bad.
Okay, let's take it direct. I'm going to take the mic out of the equation. So the cabinet... Okay. No, no. Okay, go ahead and crank the limiter up. All the way.
It's a mixture between the headphones can't handle it, you know.
Yeah,
but no.
But it's interesting. It's pretty versatile. I am seeing it. It's hard again to demonstrate it live in here, and I'm trying to mic it, but it's powerful. I mean, there's a lot of dynamic range in there, and our headphones are distorting. I think it's recording okay because I'm not seeing any distortion on the recorder. But it's interesting because it is really versatile.
Right.
And that limiter, you're right. I always used a limiter on my bass to equal, because I had some dead notes and it would clean it
up.
Totally. And it evened it out a lot.
Yeah.
But it really has an interesting, I mean, it's getting this bass that he's using here is a six string, and it's got a lot, it's a pretty wide range bass.
Yeah. Definitely full audio.
It's meant for if you're playing lead bass.
But you know,
bass.
On this bass, actually, this bass has more low end by physics because it has a box.
Yeah.
Than this. And the way that amp handles the acoustics, it's great.
As right. Well.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's true.
The natural low end on the acoustics are way bigger than
an electric bass.
Just because of the simple fact that it has a...
It's just it can handle the frequency response.
It can handle it. Yes, that's what I mean.
There's actually things vibrating, whereas on a body, I mean, only thing really vibrating is the strings.
But that gets now. What's how is that tuned? That goes just
B to
so
B.
We,
I mean, I'm low B to high B. Like a guitar with so I can more because I
so low B and high B.
Yeah, just because I do like.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Just
yeah, it's getting plenty of tone. Let's go ahead and mute it, and let's go back to the Boulder real quick and just play some of the just to show the low end frequency, just some nice resonance. The mids actually made it sound more like an upright.
I like that. You know how you don't lose, you get a lot of tone and a lot of kick.
Right, because you have the headroom, it's not compressing it. That was always a problem with the tube amps, is it automatically would compress it. In some stuff it was desirable, but for the kind of things that he's talking about where that real poppy, muted type of sound, you need that.
I mean, it's sick. I love it. I love it. So hard to slap with this thing, but... like I said, for the melodic stuff, like when you got a range to hear all those notes with resonance without any losing any kind of value of your overtones, you know, that's what makes me happy. That's what sold it to me, you know, because you can get loud, you know, you get a couple cabinets, you know, you can get loud, but can you get clean? That's
right,
clean and loud. that's the question.
Totally.
Right. You know, that's the hardest thing that you know, that I try to get. It's just like, can you get me a clean, low C sharp?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That I can hear. Not that it's just low end, but that I can right. hear and
yeah,
sing to it.
Yeah, sounds, yeah.
Because what happens if you don't have good tone on when you start doing low Ds, low C sharps and all that, and it happens playing with horns, if you don't hear the note right and you don't have enough tone on it, your note might be slightly out of tune and you're screwing with all those horns up there. You
right,
know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
When the tone is not wrong, it's hard to sing to it, you know, because mm-hmm. you might hear it as a C sharp, but you're playing a C.
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
So it is problematic, but with that amp, it doesn't happen. You know, it's pretty straightforward. What you hear is what is coming out.
What's coming, it's pretty, it's
correct.
Yeah, and I think that I like the philosophy of the of it being that transparent and flat.
Well, it's the so only you way can, you're going to get the full characteristic, because the bass is not only bass, it's
yeah.
everything. And then one of the main compliments or, you know, things of feedback we get is that it cuts through the band and it cuts through the mix. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is you're not limiting yourself to one particular set, you know, frequency. You're not a little box. You're living in the full range now.
Yeah.
Right.
As soon as you plug in, you're living in the full range. You're a full-fledged instrument, just like most things on the bandstand.
Yeah.
And, right. And that's pretty
now,
much
let me throw this question to both Poncho and Corey. You guys both play upright too, right?
I don't play upright. I'm a punk, man.
You're a punk.
Yeah. I grill meat and play bass.
Oh, let me ask Corey real quick, with the upright. What are the problems or the challenges of reproducing that upright in a live situation? I know this amp has the range to do that, but in the past, what are you looking for? Because it's obviously a different sound.
Well, absolutely. And the problem is that really to get good upright sound, you need EQs to be way below flat. You need everything to be cut because there's so much coming, you know. It's such a full range instrument on its own. Every note deserves, you know, its full presence.
Right.
And it needs air behind it too to actually sound like an upright. And most things you're just getting so much like thin, glassy, you know, sound because there's not basically enough power to keep the EQs low enough to get good upright sound.
The infamous Ron Carter sound.
Yeah, I mean, in the 70s. Ron Carter in the 60s is a god.
Upright.
Right. When he switched to the little
yeah.
thing.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, from the basically the inception of the Fishman, the original Fishman upright bass pickup, I mean, it just went straight from like, you know, like, oh, now we have volume, but we've got no tone. And that the main problem was power, and it is power when you're plugging it in, you know, again, because you can't turn up the volume enough if you have all your EQs up high, and then you don't get any upright sound. You just get pickup sound. So, you know.
I'll tell you what, I don't play upright, but what I do play, I have plugged that into an old 1960s baby bass, bass, right, for the salsa gigs. And the way those guys... Like I've seen, you know, when they with the way they EQ, they crank all the bass, turn off the mid, off the
right,
yeah,
of the highs, you know, so they can just get like this little, you know, that little thumpy. With this one, plug that in flat, you know, added a little bass on it, and the sound was fantastic, man, on the original Ampeg baby bass.
Yeah,
fantastic. Such thing that is really hard to get with your amps because, you know, they have a lot of out. Well, actually, Ampeg baby bass, they don't have that much out. You have to really crank
right.
them.
They don't.
You know what I'm saying? But when in a regular amp, because they don't have that much level, you crank it, and you fart them out real quick. With that, you can give it all the way.
And that's what that's what baby basses and uprights, none of them have a lot of output. That's why you need the power.
Well, when you play upright, besides fingers, do you bow?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happens with the bow? That changes it a lot.
Well, I mean, just basically the fact that this amp and the cabinets together sound like a PA and sound like, you know, I mean, you just get microphone-like quality when you use your bow. I mean, sometimes... Bowing actually happens to be a lot better all around for amp mm-hmm. playing, just because it's already more high end. You get more volume, and there's more, you know, just
there's less attack.
Yeah, you know. Well, so exactly.
It just well, one of the things I noticed in classical recordings, especially with classical double bass, is it's more resonant,
mm-hmm. exactly,
more than any electric. I mean, you can get it.
Well, because that's what a bow does. A bow is doing this. It's,
yeah,
it's scratching, it's rubbing.
Yeah,
it's
just
so
constantly making
of,
the string vibrate.
Yeah,
you know?
There's
right.
resonance.
So with, you're able to get that type of resonant
absolutely.
When you bow.
I mean, you can feel the inside of the bass when you get the bow, you know.
Right.
And it's really, it reproduces just full specter, you know, audio.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it with fretless.
Pun intended.
I play a lot of fretless. We just finished a trio, which is piano, bass, and drums. I used the fretless to do trombone and French horn
yeah,
lines.
Yeah, like
yes.
Jaco used to do. You used to get that trombone sound.
Beautiful.
With the slides.
So I wrote this whole bunch, an arrangement of this trombone and French horn lines, and I played it with a fretless bass, and I brought it to the composer, to my friend who would write it, and say, here's mm-hmm. the arrangement, but don't listen to it with thinking it's a fretless bass, thinking it's a trombone and a French mm-hmm. horn together. Mm-hmm. So I played him the track, and Jerry, my friend, he goes, screw the trombone, screw the French horn, we're leaving both fretlesses there because it sounded so mm-hmm. beautiful. You know?
Nice.
Not too boomy, you know, mm-hmm. perfect mid-range, you know, very clear notes. I had to really, really play because it's so transparent that if you're out of tune, you'll hear it.
Yeah.
So I really had to, like, tune the bass and put my chops on it and do that because now those are the cons of having clarity. You'll hear everything you're
you
doing
can't
wrong.
Hide behind the bass.
Nope.
Right.
Behind
right,
the
right,
amp
right.
anymore. Yeah.
It's no more this.
Yeah. No. You'll hear everything, even like this little, you know, the little cheeky cheekies, whatever.
The finger scratch.
You'll hear them all. So
yeah. It's a good practicing tool, you know, for people who are not used to hearing their mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to hear them. You know, start practicing, boys.
No, it definitely. It's. I totally get the idea. It's a studio thing. It's like it gives you that studio sound live. And I mean,
that's
the
what it
flatness,
is.
Yeah, the exactly. flat response is just amazing. It's hard to explain that, but I know what you're talking about. As working in a studio and engineering, you can hear, you know, I'm playing a bass direct. That's why they do that, to get it flat. But this thing gets it. It's just amazing. And it's really transparent.
I don't know how they do it. The geniuses over there.
We're
know.
Not telling.
I mean, maybe they build like rockets and stuff, and that's
one of
systems.
Us used to. But
that's the system they use in the space station.
It's all magic. It's just magic. Well, we're out of time, and I just want to thank you guys for coming down. Real quick, before we get into the form factor information, you guys, any gigs? What's coming up for you? Start with Corey.
Corey Dozier. I'm actually going to be playing in the Alley Theater in Houston, doing the One Night with Janice. For all of August and September, basically the month before that, I'm going to spend learning that music. So,
and then how can people get a hold, learn more about you?
You can find me at CoreyStevenDozier.com or find me on Facebook or, you know, anything. Paul Electrolux, I've got an album just came out, so, you know.
Okay.
Find me, CoreyStevenDozier.com.
And Poncho.
Poncho, Judge Judy, you can see me there every day. I have this new project with Angela Moore from Fishbone and George Lynch, guitar mm-hmm. player, and we're playing in Reno at the Rock Bar. We're doing this festival in Mammoth, and doing another festival on July 9th on Big Bear. And then we're doing, if you really want to hear that amp live, we're playing at the Baked Potato with my jazz funk trio.
Yeah.
Paul Gonzalez, JV Echo, and you know, that probably will be the best time to see how this works. It's, you know, it's,
when is that? At the
July 12th.
July 12th.
Lots of
it's gonna
four
be
string
a bass.
Heavy.
It's going to be a bass event.
Bass
sure.
event. A lot
yes.
of bass. Don't need anything because I'll make you poop with all that frequency.
And then how can people learn more about you?
Google me, man. I mean, Google knows more about me than
okay.
I do. See, Pancho Tomaselli, Google, and it shows everything that I'm doing, unfortunately. Grandma calls me, and she's like, you're a naughty boy. Right? And, you know, Facebook, the usual.
Okay, okay.
Roll around.
And then, really quick, Gary, bassexchange.com.
Yes.
You can get these amps down there. and he'll give you a good deal. Just mention All About Guitar, and he will help you. But yep. This is incredible. Thank you for bringing these guys down. And then, Andre, let's get all the information. I know that you're at www.formfactoraudio.com.
Yep, that's it. Or if you want to, go to the shop, formfactorpro.com, you can see actual pricing, etc. Although if you're in the LA area, you should definitely just go to the Bass Exchange, because they have literally every cab we make. There's a showroom. We've squeezed out most of the other products.
Well, besides the 4x10 and the 2x10, what else do you make?
A single 15 and a single 12.
Oh.
That okay. rules.
And there's another, I can't really go into too much in detail, but we've got a whole sort of slew of products coming out that we're going to introduce at NAMM. Studio products, the preamp as a standalone unit.
Oh, wow.
Other cabs. So this is what we have right now is only about, I'd say, 30% of our total model lineup that we're going to introduce over the next 12 months.
Well, real quick before we leave, you have a 4x10, 2x10, 1x15, 1x12.
Yeah.
What would you...
Heavy and light.
How would you recommend what to use for what?
Well, I think everybody that's professional knows their own stuff. I don't want to tell them. But you get more out of it than you're used to. So where you needed an 8-10, you can get away with a 4-10. When you needed a 4-10, you can get away with 2-10. And everything comes in two flavors. Heavy or light, and that uses a different... a lighter ply. Plywood, light mm-hmm. ply as we call it, and then neodymium magnets. And there's an ongoing debate over what sounds better. In my opinion, they both sound amazing. There's a tiny bit of difference versus, like that old school kind of growl and low end with the, ceramics, and a little bit of a sort of punch, more punch with neo. But ironically, you can get that with just adjusting the EQ. Which is hilarious, because people go into these long debates, but it's the same thing. Basically.
No, I know Neo, as we get older, Neo becomes more attractive.
Trust me, at 33, it's still attractive.
Well, anyway, check out www.formfactoraudio.com and www.formfactorpro.com. And check this stuff out and go down to the Bass Exchange and play these. You got to really sit down with your favorite bass and sit and hear this. It is something you really need to hear.
Bring a passive and an active bass, so you can mm-hmm. really understand what they've done. Because, like I say, I play a lot of passive instruments, especially P basses with flat ones,
Mm-hmm.
And to get the real growl of a P bass, without any kind of EQs or any preamps or anything, just out of your amp and your fingers, it's been a challenge, quite a challenge
until now.
I can show you recordings now of that amp with a P bass, and it's like,
Is your fretless a P?
No, I have a custom fretless.
Because I imagine the growl out of a fretless
beautiful. And I have them both with reverse pickups, the pickups mm-hmm. inverted and the regular, it's incredible.
Well, we're out of time, and I just want to thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Andre,
thank you so much,
Gary, Henry,
thank you.
Poncho, and Corey. It's really a pleasure to have you guys on. We'll have to have you back.
Thank you.
I want to go a little more into the fretless and you with the upright. So
definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
Everybody have a great night. Talk to you later.